Take your Bible and turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning, John chapter number 3. Feeling my heart is the message that God would have us to bring this morning. But I was standing there this morning, just now, while we were singing, while you were singing. I might have been repeating the words, but I don't know how to sing. But I thought something that I heard of years ago. I heard about a pastor who arrived early one morning. He beat everybody there at his church, and he was standing down by the communion table, and one of his deacons come in, and all of a sudden that deacon come running up to where the pastor was and said, "Preacher, we got a real problem. We got a real problem this morning." He said, "Well, don't just stand there and tell me we got a real problem. Tell me what the problem is." He said, "We've got a real problem, preacher." He said, "Well, what's the real problem?" He said, "There's a dead man back yonder on that back pew." He said, "What?" He said, "Yes, sir, there's a dead man back yonder on that back pew." He said, "Well, call EMS and have them send somebody out." And, of course, it wasn't long before the EMS folk were arrived. But they had to remove 7 before they found the right one. Really, none of us know when we're going. And God has taught us all through the Word of God that we need to prepare. And my thoughts this morning may overlap Ricky's thoughts and message on Wednesday night. I don't know everything that he gave you, but I called him to see how things went about 8:30, 8:45 on Wednesday night. And I got to hear part of your message. He preached part of it to me. And so part of this may overlap. But I'm disturbed today after being around as long as I've been around and preaching as long as I've been preaching. And I know that they would say that we got some gospel on TV, and we got some gospel radio stations. But most of the music I hear on a lot of so-called gospel radio stations is just rock music. And it's not fitting to listen to. And the only people really that appeases is the devil's crowd. And so we don't need to listen to that. And then we got a lot of pulpits that don't really preach the message. And I think we need to hear a whole lot more about the new birth and about living for Christ and about one day we're going to face Christ face to face. And I don't know about you, but I'd really like to go out of here in the rapture instead of by the way of death. But either way, I'm going. I woke up this morning. I got up. I stood up. I dressed up. I reckon I did. And I ate up all I could find in the kitchen. And then I drove down here. And I finally got something done that I have thought about for a long time. I told some of the people back yonder when I first walked in this morning. But I used to watch that program on Candid Camera. And I found out this morning I was on Candid Camera as I come in the side door. It had a sign up there telling me I was on Candid Camera. And I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad I'm here. I'd rather be here than anywhere else that I know of at this particular moment. And so let's begin reading in verse number 1, if you would, please. If you don't mind, let's just stand while we read a few verses. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, as a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, unto the Lord Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let me stop right there and just inject something. I'm convinced with the word water there has to do with the Word of God as I read through it. And as you begin to read in John chapter 4, you're going to really find out that's true. In physical life, if a dear lady is about to give birth to a child, if there's no water, more than likely you're going to have a stillbirth. And I let you know that I hear folks say, well, I got saved listening to singing. That may be so if the Word of God was incorporated in that song. But if the Word of God is not incorporated in that song, you can sing hillbilly stuff all night long and still die and go to hell. And I'm not against the hillbilly crowd. They just all need to get saved. That's all. And so I'm just saying here, by the way, if you go back and look in the dictionary, the hillbillies didn't come out of Tennessee and West Virginia and Kentucky and those places. The dictionary, the one dictionary that I looked in said real hillbillies came out of Michigan. I know that shocks the shoes right off of their feet. But that's what it said anyway. And then verse number 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Drop down to verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God, think about that, for God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Praise the Lord for that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now, let's really look at the last statement. But, connect injunction. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, bless your word. You speak, we'll listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look back at the latter part of chapter number 2, you'll find that the word man is mentioned in verse number 25, but it's also mentioned in verse number 1. He said in verse 25, for he knew what was in man. He knows us inside and out. And then he talks about, as he says something about Nicodemus, he said, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, there, when you use verse 3, chapter 3 and verse number 2, you really find a paradox that is there. And God has told us now that he knew all about man as we end up. Years ago in my first pastorate up in Gainesville, Georgia, I was going to preach on something similar to this. This is back in 1967, I believe it was. But God had really given me a great introduction to the message for that morning out of the last two or three verses of chapter 2. And I knew when I got through with that introduction, I should have just given the invitation. But I also had a message, and I intended to preach that message that morning, but I learned a lesson. I went ahead and preached the message, and there was two ladies that sat on the second row on my left, and they had a little bitty baby in between them. That kid slept the whole service, as far as I know. But as soon as I started to give the invitation, the devil pinched that baby, and it jumped and fell in the floor. The service was over with. It pays to obey God. I missed the mark that morning by not stopping when the Spirit of God said stop. And I don't know that God will do anything like that this morning. I sure hope not. But if He does, I'm going to listen. If we don't get but two words in, or if we get 200 words in, I'll try to obey the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to notice something by the way of introduction. Nicodemus is a religious man. I mean, he's got to know the book of Deuteronomy before he can ever be part of the Pharisees. Anyway, and of course the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And of course the Sadducees, the other religious crowd of that day, did not. But they had the right name because they always went around with a sad face. So they were sad, you see. And so there it is. Now let me tell you something else this morning by way of introduction. The devil is religious also. And not only is he religious, he can quote Scripture as well. I mean, he knows the Word of God. But God said he was a devil from the beginning. And so when he was talking about Judas. And so here it is. But there's several thoughts. And part of what I got to say probably will overlap with what Brother Ricky said on Wednesday night, taken for what he shared with me on the phone. But the first thing I want you to see and think about this morning is you must have a personal presence of Christ in you. This is an examination for heaven that we're going to look at this morning. And by the way, I don't think I'm wrong, but I know when God's with me and I know when He's not. I mean, I can sense that presence. And I know what God is doing the majority of time as that presence is there. And I watch and I see people as they move. And I'm going to let the Scriptures do a lot of my talking this morning. And I want to thank the Sunday school teacher for his lesson. Because he was right on with what he was trying to tell us in the Sunday school lesson. And I think part of what he said and part of what I'll say this morning will match up as well. But in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12, we find words like this. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do you know that, preacher? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when the Holy Spirit of God tries to deal with an individual or starts dealing with an individual, He turns the light switch on. Amen. My wife went into an apartment one night there in Naples, Florida. The young lady was somewhere between 25 and 30. She was single. She was an accomplished musician. I mean, you're talking about somebody that could tickle the keys on that keyboard. She could really do it. But my wife started witnessing to her, and as she witnessed to her, all of a sudden a young lady stopped her and said, stop right there, stop right there. I get it, I get it. It's just like a light switch has been turned on. I know what you're talking about now. I can see that. Tell me what I got to do to be saved. So you know when God's dealing with you. I had a lady one, and that first pastor that I was talking about one Sunday night, she was a fireman's wife. And they were sitting close to the back of the church. And God had really dealt with the congregation that night. And I watched as we was giving the invitation. She tried to get past her husband to come out, but he wouldn't let her step out in the aisle. And so she sat down, and a little bit she got up and tried to get out again. He wouldn't let her out. And she sat back down, and then she crawled out around him and got out the pew and come forward, and we talked to her to find out why she came. And she said, I came to get saved. She said, God has strictly dealt with me tonight, and I felt like when I started trying to get out to, in the aisle to come forward, the first time I felt my heart hit the floor. And said I tried to get out the second time, I felt it again. And I felt like if my heart hit the floor the third time, they'd take me out of here dead. I want to go out alive. I want to get saved tonight. I wish we could see that kind of conviction all over again today in our churches. I mean, you can come forward chewing your bubble gum and blowing bubbles and walk out and still chewing bubble gum and blowing bubbles and still be on your way to hell too. And I'm just simply saying that if you have the Son, you've got life. If you don't have Him, you don't have life. John chapter number 1, verse 11 and 12 says, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you've been born again, listen to me. If you've been born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. I mean, what a blessing just to think about being adopted into the family of God. And think about it, He's told us that He's not going to turn us away. He said that, He also said that even after you receive Christ, He said, I give you a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be the same today as I was yesterday, or I'll be the same tomorrow as I am today. And so we need to think about having the personal presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, I noticed this morning when I walked in, because you always got a group out there in the foyer, but I noticed the joyfulness of the people out there. And to think about, you know, why do I have to walk around with a face like a mule eating barbed wire and bamboo briars and that kind of stuff? And the expression or the countenance of our face really ought to show the world, if we've had the presence of God or been born again, that we know who we're talking about and that He lives it in us and He's expressing Himself through us. And so we must have the personal presence of the Lord Jesus in our life. And this paper is like a new book. The pages stick together. Then the second thing I'd like for you to think about, and not many people say much about this anymore, but I'm convinced with what Paul said, that if we've been born by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and we've become a part of the bride, then there must be a change in our life. There must be a change in the way we live. Now, I ate cornbread and black-eyed peas and butter beans and boiled okra and fried okra and sliced tomatoes and whole tomatoes and all the other that you could name along that way. And if you don't like collards and collard greens and cabbage and all, I don't know that you're going to heaven anyhow, because He said we was going to supper. You said, now, we eat dinner at my house. Yeah, if you eat dinner, you eat at lunchtime. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I'm a farm boy. when we was in the field plowing, we listened for that bell at dinner time. We knew it was time to go to the house to eat. You don't ring one at the house. You've already come by, come out the field and come by the branch and took a bath and cleaned up so when you could sit down at supper, you could have a good conversation with the folk around you. And so, of course, most people don't never get to the table together anymore either. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born again. In other words, there's a change that has come in our lives. I still have the same body that I had before I got saved. But the man on the inside, according to 1 John, is the inward man that was born into the family of God at that time. This body has not been redeemed yet. That's to come. The consummation of salvation will come at the rapture or at the resurrection, whichever one comes first. And so we need to stop and think about that. Again, in 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 10, I find, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. In other words, if they're not changed and you're not showing Christ in your life, then you've never been saved. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, I realize I had two brothers. One of them at one time, I think, belonged to Gilead Baptist Church. None of the three of us were alike. And I'll assure you we had our differences. But I could, and it's not necessary for me to do that, but I could tell you some things about them that I didn't like. And I'm sure if they were still both living, they could tell you some things about me they didn't like either. I know this. I know that I'm saved. I don't have to ask you if I'm saved. I've already got the answer out of the Word of God. Somebody said, how you know that you're saved? Because I know what the Bible says to do to get saved. I know I've already done that. And I've been again with the assurance from the Word of God that I've been saved. I think Brother Ricky on Wednesday night said, as he studied, as we was talking, he said, as I studied, I found out it wasn't the word study in that verse that was the appealing word. It was the word approved. And when we went to school, we went so many days and the teacher taught us and then we'd have a what? We'd have a quiz. We'd find out it was going to be approved. I remember when I went off to Temple taking one of the courses, one day we walked in the classroom, there was about 75 to 100 of us in that class, and the professor walked in and said, close your books, get out a pencil and piece of paper. We're fixing to have a quiz. The highest grade on that quiz was 52. I made 38. Had nothing to be proud of. But I can promise you this. Between that Tuesday when I took that test and when I went in that class on Thursday again, my wife and two children didn't see very much of me. When I wasn't on the job working, I was in this book, studying the book. I meant that I'd make a good grade if he'd done it. And sure enough, when we walked in on Thursday, he done the same thing all over again. Shut up your book, get out a pencil and piece of paper. You said, what'd you do that day? Oh, by God's grace, hallelujah, I made 100 that day. I don't know where I ever made 100 again or not, but one day I made 100. And I was about to get raptured out of that place. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said you're a new creature if you're born again. There's a change that comes. I've seen some church members, if they were to smile, their face would break. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Yeah,
Two or three of you bowed your head on that one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There comes a change. There comes a change. Now, for a long time, we didn't have running water in the house. But on Saturday night, there was a change. On Saturday, when we got up, we had several number two wash tubs, and we draw water out of the well and set it out in the sun so it warmed the water up. I tried to be the first one to get a bath in that tub at night because I didn't want to wash and get washed in the grease off of all the rest of my body. And because I didn't feel I'd be clean. But what I'm saying to you, we need a daily washing in this book. How else am I going to keep my mind clean? How else am I going to keep my thought life clean if I'm not participating? I don't know that that'd be the right word, but I'm going to use it. Participating in the Word of God. I go to bed at night reading the Word of God. I get up reading the Word of God. And I study through the day. I got plenty of time. My wife is long gone for a year now, and I don't have no honey-do list I have to fulfill in during the day. And so I dig in the Word of God as much as possible during the day. Sometimes I'm tempted to do something else in the house during the day, and I just go out the door and lock the back door as I go out. And I got a shed out there that I got two or three pieces of equipment under. I crawl up on one of them and I take my Bible out because I know nobody's not going to find me if they drive up and disturb me. I want to be where I can find out what God wants to say to me. Not to you, but to me. Then thirdly, this could be very touchy. You must be obedient to the will of God. Now, if there's somebody here this morning that may be lost, let me share something with you. I can tell you the will of God for your life beyond a shadow of a doubt. The will of God is for you to get out of the way, shut up, and listen to the voice of God and get saved. That would be the will of God. For us who've been born again, God is telling us, let's grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us fast, then repent and get right and live for God. I think I said this and I've heard it. He did not use these words in Sunday school last Sunday that I know of, and not this Sunday. But ladies and gentlemen, in the average church this morning, there's so much of the church in the world and so much of the world in the church, nobody knows the difference. They ought to be able to look at us and say, there is something different about that individual. Amen, oh me. Amen, oh me. There is something different. I'm told that I cut up too much. Well, I'm enjoying life, and I think I've got the right attitude in that. And if you don't think so, I'll listen to you. I may not come back and say anything back to you, but I'll listen to you. But I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad I've been born from above. I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I'm a child of God. And I want to be obedient to the will of God. And so the Bible says, first of all, let me say this. As far as the will of God goes, we must be in subjection. And that's a hard word to eat sometimes. But we must be in subjection to the will of God. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" When I surrendered to preach, I was working at Armstrong, and was a crane operator on the overhead crane, and my boss that morning when I went in and he found out I'd surrendered to preach, he said, "I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be like," and he called a person's name out that was inside the plant, "you're not going to be out here in this yard like that fella is in the plant. They can't never find him to do his job. He's off over in the corner somewhere talking to somebody about the Lord." I said, "I don't intend to shut my job, but I'm telling you, if his overhead crane breaks down, don't walk underneath it. Because I can't do nothing till the millwrights get out there and fix the machine to where to run." And so there it is. And I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck with him. And of course, when I left, the men that I unloaded their pulp wood off of their trucks, and the black gentleman that I worked with, they gave me enough money to pay me my first two semesters through college. Now, there had to be something to prove to them. Now, one black fella said this, "You're going to laugh, but on my part, it's not true, I can tell you that. But he said, "I don't understand. He said, the front office is fixing to send you to Pennsylvania to go to school so you can have a front office job. But said, I just don't understand this thing. But I will say this," he said, "it must be nice to kiss all them there sisters." Yeah, that's a good way to get killed. "Whose servant are we?" I've got a sermon right here in the front of my Bible. It says, "Whose servant are you?" Okay. Are we a servant of sin? Are we a servant of Christ? How about Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8? "Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Listen, I've been through this thing with cancer. I've had hepatitis C. Prostate cancer. I preached one night in Kentucky, and I had an ulcer to perforate and almost bled to death. But let me say something. We can look at that a lot of ways. But I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, and God knows I'm telling you the truth, every time we go through a trial, tribulation, or trauma, God has just sent us to Bible school. We better come out on the other side better than we went in. We better learn something while we're in there. I know that God has never left us stranded. Anybody can shout hallelujah on the mountaintop, but not everybody's going to shout as they go through the valley, the Bible school. And the light, by the way, the light cannot come down in the valley till it comes over the hillside. And then all the valley don't light up at one time. The sun has to keep moving over that the light spreads till it covers the whole valley. And I like it when God just opens up the scriptures and shines the light all over the page so I can see the message that God wants for me. Not necessarily wants for you, but that's the message He wants for me. And so we must be obedient to the Word of God. I learned what obedience was about coming up. There's three of us boys and one girl. But Mama never did do the girl like she did us boys. She taught us obedience. She whipped us three times a day just to keep in shape. I mean, literally. I think she enjoyed it. I did too when she quit. But she didn't often quit soon enough. Then I found again, and I got to hurry. If you are saved and you've been born again, this is part of the examination now, and you do get out of the will of God, and God gives you sufficient time to correct where you're out of the will of God, and you don't do it, you better listen to what Paul said in the book of Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Hebrews 12:6 said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son he receiveth." You don't want God to take you down behind the woodshed, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you that. You will never forget the experience. Hebrews 12:8 says, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." In other words, he says you're not a child of mine. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 8, if you would. Romans chapter number 8. Your spirit must witness with his spirit and so forth and so on. But in Romans chapter 8, let's pick up in verse number 9. "But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit and dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify," put to death, "the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Let me read verse 18. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We must bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am what I am by the grace of God," Paul said. And I sure am glad. Listen, by all rights, knowing what I was before I got saved, by all rights, I should have been in prison or I should have been in hell already. But thank God for the grace of God that moved upon the 14 and a half year old boy and pulled him up out of the depths of the slimy pits of sin and set him upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we must respond to the Word of God. And again, that's talking about a witness. You find that in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And you probably know that one by heart. But John 8:47 said, "He that is God beareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you have not a God." Listen, folks. You can talk about the weather. We can talk about Afghanistan this morning. We can talk about Taiwan this morning. We can talk about China this morning. What's wrong with that, about talking about Christ?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got a great grandson by marriage that has been shipped out and sent over close to Afghanistan. But the type of ship he's on has got no munition system on it, no weaponry on it. For them to be defended on that ship, other ships will have to pull up by them. What if war breaks out? And I'm praying. I'm really praying. I'm bombarding the throne of grace every time I can think about it, that God will save that boy ere fighting breaks out. Because if he gets killed in the shape he's in, he's going to die and go to hell. And I surely don't want him to go to hell. I'm to be a witness to him, and right now the only way I can be a witness to him is constantly bombard the throne of grace and ask God to extend his mercy unto that young man, that he'll come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. And then we must love one another as we love God. I have to say it, but some people are hard, a whole lot easier. If I don't get some amens here, I'm going to pull my .22 out. Okay, I'm joking there now. But some people are just easier to love than others. You know, I mean, even some can folk are easier to love than others. I've seen a few, you wondered if you wanted them to come by the house. So we must. How about 1 John 4:21? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, as far as I know, I'm not akin physically to any of you. But I am kin to you. By the grace of God, I am. And I ought to respect you, and I ought to love you as God has loved me. And I was still in the service and was married. I got married when I was in the service. But I appreciate my wife. Back in those days, I mean, she made love stick like glue. But when I'd be gone a few days and come back into port and going to be in port for a few days, I never went home in the afternoon and saw my wife in her pajamas or a gown. And I never saw her with the orange cans rolled up in her hair and all this kind of stuff. Boy, she was decked out, and I'd ring the doorbell so she'd know I was coming in. And she'd fly to that door, and she'd wrap her arms around my neck and nearby break my neck off of my shoulders and kiss me on my forehead, on my lips. I don't know about you, but I like that sugar. It made our relationship grow closer and closer and closer. And Brother Sunday School teacher, Brother Charlie, the deeper I get in this word, the closer me and God get together. The greater the love is. I got to hurry. Then he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, you probably know this one by heart, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema maranatha. So he's saying to us, cut you off. If you're not saved, we'll just cut it off. Salvation is opposite of condemnation. And God, if I know the heart of God this morning, He is not interested in condemning you to hell. I mean, He really doesn't want to bring chastisement upon us either. He would rather have great fellowship with us. Amen. Sweet fellowship. And why not study the Word of God and see if I fit that I can pass the examination that God's given us to be birthed into the family of God? He's coming one of these days. I don't know when, but if he comes today, that's all right. I was preaching up between Calhoun and Dalton, Georgia, back the first of the year. And after I got through preaching that morning, I passed out. And for a little bit, I thought he might come already, but thank God they couldn't find nothing wrong with me. I guess it's just meanness breaking out. But I'm glad I got over that. But I'm saying to you, I need to live to where you can't find and say, I don't believe Brother McGowan is saved. I need to leave in such. I was in Walmart one night in my where I was pastoring my last pastorate, and one Wednesday night I had to pick up something and I went to Walmart. And all of a sudden, I heard this. I know you. I know you. And I turned around looking for the voice that was saying, I know you. And it's a little boy about 10, 11 years old. And I couldn't place him. I couldn't figure out who he was. But he kept saying, I know you. I know you. I said, how do you know me? He said, you're that funny preacher. I don't need that kind of testimony, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. I want to be serious-minded so people will know that I trust God, I love God, I'm serving God, and I want to serve God better. I know at the most I only got a few days left to serve God, but I want them to count for God. I want to meet this examination. I know that I've passed. And as far as I know, I don't know that I'm even close to 100. But in the few days, man, that I got left, I'm going to strive to make that 100 mark on this test. And to know that I'm walking out of this life in the other life in the good grace of God, pleasing my Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.